Blog Talk Radio.
Not quite sure what happened to my audio here.
Blog Talk Radio.
Get right back to you, Jesse.
Yep.
All right, I got you in the screening room now. Can you hear me? Hey, everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere. Your all-inclusive motorsports and multi-sports hour at blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. We'll be doing the Twig and Rich and Winnie show at 15 after the hour, and you can catch Speedway Anywhere every Thursday for the precap and every Monday for the recap, 7 p.m. Central Time. blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. As far as I know, our Demolition Derby enthusiast will be with us this evening. Little note to myself. When you are about to talk on air, don't bite into a pizza fresh out of the oven. And when you need to engineer a radio show, don't burn your fingers on that pizza. Yes, I just did that. The show is basically my genie in a bottle idea, or generally a genie in a lamp. It's my wish that came true. But you got to be careful when you rub the lamp. You got to wait before you rub it. Make sure you have your wishes ready. Those damn genies are very literal. Take for instance, I found a lamp, rubbed it. Genie said I have 3 wishes. I started to say, well, generally, and then I coughed. Then I had a Dukes of Hazzard number 01 car in front of me. I mean, that didn't suck. But I meant to say, generally, I kind of wish I had a beer to think over my wishes. NASCAR heads to Dover Friday, May 4th, starting with the Truck Series returning for their first race since Martinsville. Obviously, Johnny Sauter currently leading the points. More about that later. What could have, should have, would have been in the Truck Series if they would have started it years ago. Let's see. The Xfinity Series will run Saturday at Dover. So if you're not too tied up watching horse racing, I mean, that's always another choice that you have. Yep, I knew that was coming. Elliott Sadler still holds on to the points in the series, pretty much has all year. The couple race at Dover on Sunday with Kyle Busch leading the points, followed by Logano, and then my boy, Kevin Harvick. And I know that you're not supposed to show bias in broadcasting, but hey, I mean, yeah, well, whatever, dude. Kevin Harvick's my boy. Let's back up just a little bit. It's been a great year for the regulars in the Xfinity Series. They've stayed in the top 5 the last 2 races, which have been without what we call the Bushwhackers, the Cup drivers that come in and drive in the lesser series, obviously from the Premier Series. Drivers poaching on the stepping stone division was a long heated subject, and there are pieces in place now. But speaking of the poachers, Jimmy Johnson on a winless streak. I think Dover is his best prospect to break it. He's been winless since, let me go through my notes. It's been his dominant track. Dover really has. If Kansas came back at Dover instead of a week later at Kansas, maybe Johnson wouldn't win. Kansas is strong there as well. Jimmy Johnson's last win, like I was mentioning, it was at Dover June 4th of last year. Obviously, the race has been moved a month earlier. At the time of broadcast, he is the winningest Cup driver at Dover. Just to clarify, bushwhacking. I think the new rules took some time to affect the old arguments, but they are working as we have less Cup drivers taking to the track in the series and taking the checkers or even top fives. Take, for instance, Spencer Gallagher won at Dega, got his first win ever. Christopher Bell took Richmond, and the entire top five were rounded out by full-time drivers in the series. In NHRA, Southern Nationals at Atlanta Dragway Friday through Sunday. World of Outlaws, Lake Ozarks Speedway, Friday in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, and Salina High Bank Speedway Saturday in Salina, Oklahoma. You know what's crazy? Those guys race almost as many races as baseball plays baseball games. And people wonder why I only cover World of Outlaws on the weekends. Well, I don't think anybody that does a show a couple days of the week is ever going to be able to cover an entire baseball season, just like I'm not going to be able to cover a whole World of Outlaws season. Phone in 917-889-2053. Twig and Rich and Gist, after we give credit where credit is due.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. Has the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground? Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Preferred Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. You can call Jamie at 612-363-1503 or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again, 612-363-1503, Preferred Tree Service. Aw, oh, man, we got to do that one more time. The volume was way down. Pay some respect to Kentucky Derby weekend.
That's cool.
To promote my new flower shop, I had one place print my business cards, another print my brochures, and a third, my signs. Now my roses aren't red, my violets aren't blue, my geraniums look dead, and I don't know what to do.
Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a true reflection of your company. And now with Staples, spend $50 or more on print and marketing services and get $5 off your next in-store purchase.
Now my business is blossoming and I'm spending less green.
Exclusions apply. In-store only. End 6/23/18.
How we doing, Jesse? You got me?
Yes, I got you.
Loud and clear?
Yep.
I got a new studio system over here. I'm having some fun with it. Had my buddies over at Clear Channel, KFan, Clear Channel, iHeart Radio, whatever, were helping me walk through it last night, and we finally got it right. So how you been?
Is that the system? Not bad. Been busy.
Yeah, I heard that you got laid up for a little bit there too.
Yeah, I had a surgery 2 weeks ago, and now I'm just getting on my feet and all that, getting everything back to normal. So
okay. So does that mean that you're going to be up and able and ready to bash some cars around this summer?
Oh, yeah. I got my car. We're going to start working on it hopefully next week.
Sweet. So I have a laundry list of questions here for you. How long you been at this?
Between driving and being in pit crews, about 10 years.
Okay. So how does somebody break into the demolition derby circuit? I know there's some guys that are really hardcore, and they actually travel the country or region at least.
Oh, yeah. You just find county fairs or any place that does like any kind of motorsports sometimes has demolition derbies, and you just contact them and find yourself a car and get the inspection sheets, like how you have to have the car built and all that, and for safety reasons, and go at it.
Well, I know from being a musician in sound and lighting production and then, you know, whatnot, actually some of the stuff that me and you have done together, but from doing that stuff, there is the website is mfcf.com, which is the Minnesota Federation of County Fairs, and there's a big old bunch of contact information. What are there? There's over 90 counties in the state of Minnesota. And I know that a giant portion of them do demo derby.
Oh yeah. Almost every county fair that you can think of in the state of Minnesota has a demo derby.
Yeah. I've always wanted to give it a shot, but I guess that begs the question, what kind of budget do you have to have for that?
It all depends on how much you want to. You can't soup up the engine or nothing, so it's just basically how you want to decorate your car or stuff like that. Really, it's just the most expensive thing is finding a car. And other than that, it's just pretty much stock what you can drive on the road. You just rip out the seats except for the driver's seat. You take out the dash and all the glass and drain the radiator, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, of course, the truck and trailer isn't exactly cheap either.
Yeah, that's why you usually a lot of people will get friends that also do the derbies, and they'll haul one car there and then come back and pick up another car and take it to there before the show starts and all that. Because out of the group that I'm in, we usually run about six cars, and we have four trucks with trailers, so we take turns on going to get each other's cars and get them to the fairground.
You know, when Raceway Park was still open, you could just leave your car there.
Yeah.
That was nice.
The one that I do in Carver County here, after the demo, if you don't want your car, you leave it there, and the junkyard comes the next day and picks it up.
What's it like to see your son out there getting beaten around? What's it like to see your son out there for the first time watching him get beaten, banged around?
I'll tell you, I've never been such a nervous dad in my life watching that, because you always don't want your kids to get in accidents, and then you're out there watching them purposely get hit and hit other people. So, yeah, it was scary. But I was very proud of him because he came in fourth place out of 10 cars. So I was a very proud dad at that point.
You know, the first one I ever saw was at Anoka County Fairgrounds back when I was a little knee-high, not even tall enough to drive the bumper cars. That was disappointing. You go and watch a demolition derby, you walk over to the amusement ride area, and then they tell you you're too short to go beat and bang a car. That really stunk. I'm sure you saw a sissy little Quentin with tears in his eyes. But my dad jumped in the bumper car with me, and I don't know. We did it. What's your plans for this year, then?
I'm going to be running in Carver County Fair on August 12th. And then possibly in Scott County Fair, but I can't remember what the dates are on that one because my friend has a car that he can't. He got into an accident, so he's laid up for 6 months, so I might be driving his car for one of the derbies. So I'll be on two of them this year.
So when you go looking for... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's going to be fun. I love doing them, and I will be in two different classes. I will be in the mid-size class, and that is 106-inch wheelbase, and then I will be in the compacts. So that's going to be a really fun one because I've never ran in the compacts before. I've always ran in full-size or mid-size.
You know, and that's always – I've always been curious about that. I actually watched a little front-wheel drive go out and beat up on the old Cutlass Supremes and the old Bonneville, you know, those kind of cars. And the dude actually took it. I don't remember exactly what model of car it was. But it was like a little like Mustang four cylinder like car, you know, the ones that came in and came and went before the 5.0s became all the rage. And he did it in a front wheel drive car. It's just crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you would be surprised on how many people run front wheel drives because you're so used to having in demo derbies, rear-wheel, because you want all the power in the back, but then when you really start to think of it, you don't want to hit with your front end. You always want to hit with your trunk area, so you're pushing your car with the front-wheel drive instead of pulling the whole car. So in some ways, you got an advantage of having a front-wheel drive than a rear-wheel drive.
Yeah, when I think about it, yeah, if you're wanting to hit with the rear, but that's where your drive shaft is going to, it's probably better to keep the power up in front and keep the wheel that spins up in the front so you can beat the hell out of the back. Makes sense to me. Yeah, my dad was going to get into it years ago. He had the first one, I don't remember what it was. The second one, we had a Gran Torino that popped a water pump and obviously melted the head gaskets. And he decided he was going to make a demolition derby car out of it, but never did.
And that's where you find a lot of your cars, too, is if they go, like, mechanic specials and all that, because then you know that the engine's not going to last long, so you're going to get it cheap, and if it blows up right away, it blows up, but you're still out there having fun.
Hey, Rich, if you're out there, shoot us a call. Still waiting on you. Other auto sports, motorsports, anything that you've had an interest in?
motocross.
Have you done it?
I really love doing motocross. I've never done it. I've tried a couple times just screwing around with friends and all that, but I've never been able to get out there and do that because my knees are bad, so being on a motorcycle doing all those jumps and all that, that takes a toll on your body. So that's,
and you know, when you ask me, I gotta say that's gotta be extremely, extremely physical. I mean, and there is so much to it as far as, you know, getting your rhythm and rolling with the punches and the up and down and up and down and up and down.
Yeah, it's very physical because I have a friend that does it professionally, and he actually just retired this year after being in it for about 22 years, and he says that he has so many stress fractures and either in his feet or in his back from hitting, coming off a jump and landing wrong, and that's a very physical sport to do.
Yeah, I know some guys that were at it, and they weren't at it much past like 23 years old. So.
Yep.
So. Obviously, you know, so I'm a huge NASCAR fan, and that's my thing. But I've been out checking out some of the stuff that goes on, and there's so many different versions of the motocross circuit. I mean, you got the big AMA Supercross, but you got a lot of local stuff. Like, what is that up in Princeton or Zimmerman or something like that? They got a wicked track
up there. They have one. Yeah, and then also a lot of county fairs are starting to get into little motocross series and all that too, and they have one of them at Carver County Fair every year too, and you get some people that are just breaking into the business, and then you do have some that have been in the business for years that come out and try.
Well, like, I know that they were doing one over at Anoka. I lived right across Green Haven golf course from the Anoka County Fairgrounds. And, yeah, you'd hear them gunning it, and then all of a sudden 10 o'clock would roll around and, silence!
Oh, yeah.
I know they had a noise curfew on that stuff. So
yeah, they got a lot of places on that, so it makes it difficult on sometimes.
Yep. So what's up lately in your wrestling business? You still doing rings at all? Or?
Oh, yeah. We just had a show last Saturday in Richfield. So we
Richfield?
Still, I'm still in. Yeah,
oh, is that the Legion
there.
Or whatever down there?
Yep. At the Legion. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have one next Saturday, I believe it is, in there's a couple shows. There's one in Hibbing, and there's one in Anoka, and I can't think of where the other one is now. There's just so many of them going on right now.
Hey, we got our buddy Rick joining us online, so he'll be on shortly.
All right.
I don't think he knows he's online yet. So, hey, I'm going to cut to pay credit where credit is due. Take care of one of our sponsors, and I'll get right back to you and Rich in just a second.
All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. As the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground, Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Preferred Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. you can call Jamie at 612-363-1503 or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again, 612-363-1503, Preferred Tree Service. Hey, Rich, you with us?
I am here.
Hey, how's it going, bud? Yep.
Doing well. Doing well. Sounding good.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm kind of digging this new studio thing. Uh-oh.
You sound really clear. You sound fantastic.
Sound professional, finally. So, hey, obviously, Winnie didn't tip you too hard last Tuesday or Monday. Yeah, Monday. So you survived Winnie's abuse.
Hey, everybody needs a good horse kicking every now and then.
So did you hear about the royal baby?
Not yet. Harry and the new missus, big wedding coming up, I know that much. Is she already got the royal baby in the oven?
Not that royal baby. Isla Rose. Isla Rose Earnhardt. Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Amy Earnhardt's baby.
That's the real royal baby. Okay, I gotcha.
Yep, born Tuesday. So, not even lying. Otto Racing was on baby watch more hardcore than the royal family. So.
Wow. Well, we got to keep the Earnhardt legacy going, man.
Yeah, I got a question about that later. So, what you got on the docket? What you got thinking? I got all kinds of notes here.
Well, you know, I think the big news, we talk about the twins after that horrid April, is the way it ended, or began, I should say, with Fernando Mania, a guy they called up named Fernando Romero. We finally got a guy throwing 95-plus, 98 miles an hour through 5 innings of shutout ball. In spring training, he threw 8 innings of no-hit ball. So the guy hasn't given up a run in the bigs yet, and he looks like a live arm we're looking for in that rotation, maybe give us literally that shot in the arm we need to have a better May and get back in to 500 and get back in contention.
You know, there's been a lot of excitement about Romero. Yeah, it almost kind of lit a little fire. Another part of that talk is that the White Sox are, like, I think they said 8-20.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. They're rebuilding. They got a lot of youth, and they're several years away. So the big thing right now is we have 56 games against the White Sox, the Royals, and the Tigers, who are the also-rans in the division. If we can make hay against them, no offense, Winnie, but if we can make hay against them, we can get back in this thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully this recent deal is just a fluke. And when you talk about teams like the White Sox, they're on our division, right?
Yeah, the White Sox, Indians, Royals, and Tigers are our division foes. Obviously, Indians are the cream of the crop, but I think we're as good and definitely better than those other three teams. So you get to play each team 19 times. So we've got a lot of games left against those three teams. So we should be able to do pretty well. You know, the thing all started when they went to Puerto Rico after, you know, all the snowouts. They went to Puerto Rico. Rumor has it they partied pretty hardy there. And they missed quite a few games, a lot of practice, a lot of travel. And when they came back and went to that East Coast trip, the wheels fell off in Tampa and New York, and obviously Cincinnati even did a number on them. So I think there's time to rebound, particularly against these teams that we got on tap. But that was a rough patch there, losing 10 out of 11 ball games.
There's a lot of people out there, and I think I talked to Kurt about this Monday, that they're trying to be sympathetic to the Twins. They're saying that their schedule's been inconsistent because of the snowouts and the long travel to Puerto Rico and those kind of things. But if you want to talk about weather and the way that was at the beginning of the season, there's a lot more than just the Twins that were up against that.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, you can only throw those excuses around so much, although I think they'd be the first to tell you that they've underachieved, that the pitching hasn't been what it was billed to be after some of the acquisitions they made. Lance Lynn, the big free agent guy, had a terrible month, but he's had a career ERA in the threes. I think he bounces back. I certainly think that you can't really blame the front office. They brought the players in. They kept the players they needed to keep. They sure look good on paper. So I don't think you want to, you know, pull the curtain on this club yet, because they do have talent. They do have guys that have had success in the big leagues. The biggest problem probably has really been Sano coming into camp, really not in the greatest shape because he had the shin surgery. And then Byron Buxton, you know, this is the franchise, Sano and Buxton. So Sano's already hurt, been on the DL. Buxton's been on the DL most of the season. What's crazy is he goes on the DL with migraines, and they give him a rehab start, and he fouls the ball off his toe and breaks his toe. So he's still out for a period of time. So when your two young guns aren't there and the guys you brought in haven't been up to par, you know, you're going to struggle. But you never want to lose eight in a row. I don't care who what your excuse is. So, you know, I don't think that's going to happen again. But when they get those guys back and the guys start to play up to their level, particularly against inferior competition, I think they'll get back in this thing.
You know, it's funny when you mentioned that is a lot of drivers' contracts, they are banned from going out and doing celebrity races because of that exact fact. They go out, they get injured, and now the owner of their real professional team is screwed because their driver is hurt.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I think it was optional. I think when a guy's on a big league team and the team asks him if he wants to get in, you know, some at-bats down in the minors or, you know, in an instructional league, I think he has the right to say contractually, no, I don't want to get hurt down there. Either way, he's still going to get paid, but most guys will do it just because that's what the club's asking them. But, you know, it ended up, you know, biting them in the backside when he gets hurt in a minor league game trying to recover from migraines.
Add to that mix also Santana and then, you know, just others along the way. It's starting to look like a Vikings roster.
Yeah, I hear you there. Speaking of the Vikings roster, I like the draft moves they made. I certainly think a lot of those moves are kind of with an eye on the future, but a lot of guys they can groom. And I think the number one pick is going to help them right away on kickoff and punt returns, and certainly maybe in the nickel defense, dime defense, he can get out there and get some experience. But that guy looks like an athlete. I like that pick. And we'll see what that second-round pick, if he can help out the offensive line. But they definitely did pretty well. They did great in free agency. And I'm sure you saw the Vegas odds has them as one of the top Super Bowl contenders this year. I think it's 12-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. Only, I think, last year's contestants, the Patriots and Eagles, have better odds. So that's a pretty good sign of what we've done, particularly adding Cousins, but through the draft and free agency, this team should be in the hunt to get back at least to a championship game, you know, ideally a Super Bowl. We'll see. It's all about staying healthy in the NFL, that's for sure.
You know, in the predictions for quarterbacks, obviously, a lot of the big networks were saying 10. You said 6. It ended up being 5. I think that a lot of teams were content after free agency and, you know, tagging and everything else, that they didn't need to pull first round.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Speaking of quarterbacks, you probably heard this already, but I heard Cousins is no longer the highest paid quarterback.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. You know, once the guy sets the bar, it doesn't take long before somebody raises it. So that was inevitable, but he set it pretty high. So it's amazing the difference between, say, the quarterback position and running backs or the top paid players at other positions. It's far and above the highest paid position in sports. Crazy because, I mean, I know that the quarterback-driven league, and that's the guy at the helm and the guy that is kind of calling the shots, but it is a little bit, I think, out of whack with the, you know, the impact that guys have on games at other positions.
You think the bottom's going to fall out at some point?
Oh, yeah, at some point it's got to, although you'll only have, I mean, to be honest with you, you have 32 NFL teams. You're probably hard-pressed to come up with eight superstars. You know, a quarter of the quarterbacks that even start in that league are really good to great. So it'll be one of those deals where top five, maybe seven, eight guys are getting all the money, and even a lot of starters in the NFL at quarterback won't be able to command that type of money.
Well, and when you're talking salary caps and you're talking about throwing so much money at a Cousins or throwing so much money at that Ryan guy or Matty or whatever, the teams ain't even going to be able to afford it. So salary caps ain't going to matter. These guys are inflating their salaries so much. I mean, what are you going to do? I had to laugh. I was sitting in the car listening to this stuff on the fan, and I was starting to think that the same guys that play offense are going to have to play defense because the owners can no longer afford them.
Right.
So they're going to have to shorten their roster.
Yeah, it's a little bit silly when it's that far out of whack what one guy can make out of a roster of 53 guys.
So this Matty Ice, apparently he's the one that beat out Cousins as far as salary.
Yes.
But I heard that there's also a difference here because Cousins is going to get his salary either way. And this Ice is only guaranteed 100 mil of his 150. So technically Cousins could still be the highest paid. I don't know.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to per season, guaranteed, Cousins still has him there. But overall, if Matt Ryan stays healthy and performs at the level he has and can, you know, he can exceed it on overall earnings. And he's actually, you know, he's taking his team to a Super Bowl. And he had a career year 2 years ago. Last year he slid back a little bit, but he's got a lot of weapons around him. Obviously, Julio Jones. They drafted a wide receiver out of Alabama named Ridley, who looks like a superstar. He's got a great running back behind him. And they put a lot of money on the offensive side of the ball, and they want to protect that investment by having a pretty solid quarterback. He's smart. He plays smart. He's got a good arm. You know, he's pretty much earned that money. I mean, as ridiculous as it sounds, he's probably performed as well or better than Cousins to this point, although he has had better people around him and better defenses, which really does, you know, help a quarterback with field position and not having to always play from behind. But I think Cousins is in a pretty great spot here this year and should be one of the top quarterbacks in the league, again, provided he stays healthy.
I just think it's kind of funny how the Matty Ice sounds like the beer. Natty Ice. That natural ice.
Oh, yeah.
That's out there.
A poor man special. Yeah.
Man, if you want a quick fix.
Oh, yeah. Not a bad beer for a cheap beer, that's for sure.
Yeah, for $5, Chuck? No, it's really not. it beats the hell out of those high-gravity hurricane, whatever. The beer that if you can get it past your nose, I'll give you a medal. Scenario.
Yeah, I can't do all that IPA stuff. It's just too bitter, and I know it's an acquired taste.
That kind
but,
of stuff? No.
Yeah, for the price you pay, and I think a lot of it's just it's getting carried away with all these micro, macro, and, you know, there's just so much out there. It's all these home brewers and all these local vats and distilleries. It's just wild how many choices there are now. But, you know, it's pretty hard to just beat a Coors Light or, you know, just a regular beer, man. I mean, I like wheat beer. If I'm going to get fancy, give me a wheat beer, because I spent time in Germany in the military, and nothing like a good wheat beer. But, you know, you can go out. Yeah, it is hard to find, but you can go out and get, like, what is it? Weiss Garden, St. Paul. You know, there's a few different kinds, but I'll stumble into a wheat beer every now and then, and I'm in heaven.
It's almost hard to find a normal beer, even in a stadium. Find a Budweiser, find an MGD, find a Coors, because they got all these craft beer stands.
Yeah, it's wild. But speaking of beer at a game, I mean, it just blew my mind at the game Saturday. It just slowly keep growing. A can of beer, $9.50. You know, Bud Light, $9.50. Or a can of beer. That's a hard one to get your mind around.
Hey, and when you go to a game at the end of September and you're freezing in the stands, you're like, I got to get a beer. I'm at a game. I got to do this. And then you regret grabbing it because all it does is freeze it. You're flipping hands.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I spent a small chunk of my life working in the liquor business, so I saw the influx of the craft beers. I can't believe we're sitting here talking beer for like it's been 6 minutes.
Well, K-Fan's got a whole show around beer, the beer show, I think they call it, believe it or not.
Doesn't surprise
me.
It's
an hour. They do it once a week for beer aficionados. It's an hour long. Called the Beer Show, and boy, do they get off on some pretty wild tangents.
Dude, they have a video game show.
Yeah,
they have a show all about video games.
Well, you remember I used to be on there with the Collector's Showcase, which is collecting sports memorabilia. We had to hang up on 20, 30 guys on hold when the hour show was over. There was guys holding for, you know, an hour. We couldn't get through because they wanted to talk about their Mickey Mantle ball in their basement.
Me and Common had a conversation about that too. I got four dome souvenirs. Of course, I have the seat. I have a piece of the roof. I have a piece of the turf. And guess what else I have?
Oh boy, I thought maybe you had one of the troughs.
Oh God. No, thank God that wasn't in my – no, that wasn't under the tree at Christmas. It was my wife –
that would be a good tree retardant. I'll keep the tree from going up in flames, though.
Oh, God. My wife, now ex-wife, there's big dirt mounds there right in between 169 and Hemlock Lane on 77th Avenue North. Those are the mounds of dirt that they bring in for the monster truck in the motocross shows.
Monster
they truck it and truck
jam.
It. Yep. She knows how into that I was. So she drove by there, pulls over. She's got a cup or something, and she scooped me up some of the monster truck dirt. How cool is that?
Grave digger,
but yeah.
Well, no, that was a play of words then.
Yeah. Hey, we're gonna do a quick little credit where credit is due, and then I'll get right back to you.
Very good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. Has the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground? Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Preferred Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. You can call Jamie at 612-363-1503 or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again, 612-363-1503, Preferred Tree Service. All right. So that all worked out good.
Nice.
Jamie's happy with it.
Nice. Yeah, nice to see Winnie earning her keep too.
Yeah, Winnie eats the trees. He's a tree trimmer too. So hey, where are we at? Kurt said he was going to chime in for final laps, but
yeah. You know, there ain't a whole lot going on. You know, the NBA playoffs are still moving along. LeBron is just logging a million minutes and, you know, trying to carry his team back to the finals. But at some point, that guy's going to run out of gas. The last game he had to leave and practically needed an IV in him. But we'll see. We'll see if he can keep it going. I think Toronto is going to give them a run. And if he can get past Toronto, I think they're going to run into Boston. So we'll see what happens there. But it is fun to watch LeBron do his thing. And then the other side, it looks like a collision course is going to happen in the West with Golden State and Houston. And that should be a great series. And I think the winner of that is going to win it all against either LeBron or whoever comes out of the East once again. So kind of an update there. And then the NHL side, the Vegas is still in the hunt. That's the big story there. And I think it's going to boil down to the Predators and Winnipeg. Whoever wins that series, maybe we'll run into Vegas if they can advance. I think probably whoever comes out of the West, just like the NBA, is probably going to win in the NHL. We'll see who comes out in the East, but I think it's going to boil down to Winnipeg or Nashville as your NHL champion this year.
Yeah, Nashville was probably the one that everyone was betting on when they just came out of the gate swinging. They surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, the story is still obviously Vegas. I mean, for an expansion team to be in the semifinals and, you know, they got a great chance to get to the finals of the conference. It's really remarkable, and they could win it all, which would just put sports on its ear because an expansion team is supposed to be a doormat for about half a decade before they can, you know, start to compete. So what they put together there in their first season is beyond remarkable. It's probably the story of the year in sports. You know, even if you're not a big hockey guy, you got to respect that a expansion team, think about it. When an expansion team, the whole idea is the league is expanding, so they let this new team pick players from rosters of guys that weren't initially protected. So the best guys all get to stay with their teams, and you get to pick guys that they kind of don't want or don't feel worthy of protecting. And in order to get those guys, along with a few free agents, and not too many of the top free agents want to come to an expansion team. So for that to happen and the way it happened, to get the blend of veterans and rookies and free agents to even just be a playoff team, let alone a pretty darn good team all year, and then to have them advancing in the playoffs like that, it's remarkable. I've never seen of it or heard of it, and it's going to change the way they look at expansion in the future for sure.
Speaking of teams protecting, do you think that Baker Mayfield's got a prayer on the Browns? I mean, he's about as likely to get hurt as any Viking starter because you don't have the protection.
Yeah, it's outrageous. So when you look at all the quarterbacks the Browns have been through, I think it's some ridiculous amount, like 29 in the last 7 years. I mean, some short amount of time, a ridiculous amount of guys. The problem is they bring these guys in with a bad on a bad team with a bad line, and like you said, no protection, and they expect them to produce like a number one pick should, and it's just too much pressure. I mean, Cleveland is abysmal. Now, they've been so bad for so long that they have acquired some talent, but that's, again, it's a quarterback-driven league, and you're bringing in rookie quarterbacks that really need to, you know, be on, you know, have a chance to produce it. You need to be on a good team with a good line, even if you're a good established quarterback. So it's just a bad idea, although this is the one time I'm hearing them say they brought in Tyrod Taylor from Buffalo, and they're talking about letting him, giving him the reins. He's an established veteran, and really letting the kid hold the clipboard, kind of learn the ropes on the sidelines. Back in the day, a guy used to do that for 2 years maybe before he got the reins. Even guys like Marino and Elway didn't start right away. But in the last 10, 15 years, all they've wanted to do is give these kids, because they used to give these guys until they pulled the plug on the first round, like guys getting $50 million guaranteed money. They kind of pulled the plug on that a little bit, but they used to rush these guys in there, and they still are because of the money they're getting. And, you know, it's a win-now league, and the fans are hungry to see these guys that they draft play, but it's a mistake to have a young guy start on a terrible team with a bad line. So let Tyrod Taylor take the beating this year in Cleveland and let this kid learn on the sidelines.
So, yeah, before we have to cut out, I got about 8 minutes left here, and I want to get to final laps. Any thoughts on Kentucky?
You know, it's just, it's all about the hat you wear. That's really all that matters. But
I have never watched it. I have never followed it. I've never looked it up online until this year, because I was just like, okay, if I'm going to do a show about horsepower, I better learn a few things. And of course, you know, like I mentioned a few weeks back or whatever, that this year I actually know where the three races are of the Triple Crown and what they're called. So
nice. Well, let's hear it, man. Let me hear it, man. I know what it is. I want to hear it right from you.
You want to hear it from the horse's mouth?
The three legs of the Triple Crown. Let's hear it, brother.
Churchill Downs. See, you put me
on
the spot. One's in New York. That's Belmont. And then the other was...
I'll give you the venue. It's Baltimore.
It's Baltimore. It's the, yeah, the blah, blah, blah. Hold on a second. Kurt's calling in. So, Churchill Downs, Belmont Stakes, and then the other one is the steak, the horse steak. See, it's just... I hate it when people do this to me. Like, when I'm sitting in the office all day long making notes about stuff, I know it, so I don't make notes. Preakness.
Well, there you go. The Preakness Stakes. Nice going. I knew you could do
Belmont,
it, man. I put you on the spot, man.
Belmont. I don't know why the hell it's called Belmont, because it's actually Elmont, New York. But they call it Belmont. How you doing, Kurt?
Bells and whistles. That's why.
Bells and whistles.
There you go.
So hey, where are we at? 6 minutes. Let's do some final laps. The one that I asked you the other day, Rich. If you could play any sport, what famous historical venue would you want to play it in?
You know,
go.
You know me, I'm a baseball guy. So it comes down to either Fenway Park or Wrigley Field, because they're two of the oldest baseball stadiums. They really haven't changed them. They're pretty much like they were back in the early 1900s. You know, to think that Babe Ruth played there. The Ivy in Wrigley, you know, the Green Monster in Fenway. They're just classic venues. I actually had
We have to go rapid fire on this. I'm sorry. We got.
All right, we won't talk
five
about
minutes
the,
nine
the,
seconds. We'll talk about the rest of it.
Yep, we'll talk about how cool it is to hear your voice there.
Hey, Kurt, what about you? What sport, what venue?
There's about a billion areas I would like to say, but in my lifetime, first I would like to say Game 6, 65 World Series at Met Stadium, because Mudcat Grant hit a home run. One, I'd always see a pitcher hit a home run. Bob Allison makes the catch in Game 2. But in my lifetime, by far, it's Game 6, 1991 World Series, when Puckett made that catch and when Puckett had that walk-off homer.
All right, and for me, if I could drive any kind of car down through Laguna Seca's Corkscrew, that would be the venue in a car. Pitching rubber, tire rubber, or Trojan rubbers?
Ooh, I got to say Trojan rubbers will help your life more, so.
What about you, Rich?
I got to be on the bump, man, pitching rubber.
And you know me, I'm going with tire rubber, burnt rubber. I think that's how I was born. Don't you think NASCAR should have started the truck series way back when they were making El Caminos and Rancheros?
Oh, I've
been smart.
Yeah.
I think it was an obvious choice. They just never did it. Picks for Kentucky, anyone have one?
A picture of Kentucky?
No picks.
I'm looking at one of Churchill Downs right now with American Pharoah.
Okay. American Pharoah.
Ever since Gronk bailed out, there goes my horse right there.
You know what? I would have said that one, but I'm just going with Lone Ranger on silver. I mean,
I like it.
I said Lone
Ranger. Winnie likes it,
yeah.
Too.
If I hit that button, it's going to take my... Okay, and finally, Isla Rose Earnhardt become the first female Earnhardt to conquer NASCAR.
Why not? Hey, she's got a name like Isla. The Saints had a pitcher named Isla.
Yeah.
Female that did pretty well, so she's got the right name.
I think if your name is Earnhardt, you are going to get in the wheel of a car for at least one or two times. So she's going to try something.
As long as she doesn't go the Amelia Earhart route, we'll be okay.
Okay, I got 2 minutes. And so for Victory Land, I'm going to say God Save the Queen, Queen Amy Earnhardt. She's going to need it if her little girl grows up like her daddy and grandpa. Tune in to blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere Mondays at 7 for the recap, and always Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Wherever you go, get there fast. In the spirit of horse racing, here's my little tribute from Charlie the Unicorn.
All right!
You
know it's true. Catfishes
love you.
Carlfishes
love you.
Blowfishes
running up to
in the ocean blue.
Lungfish, blackfish, alligator, icefish, armorhead, hammerhead, anaconda, flathead, manta ray, stingray, fangtooth, moray, gomma jar, grass car, brown river, bat ray, noodlefish, hagfish, manowar, ladyfish, black eel, baby seal, sprat, core, electric eel, lamprey, petrel, yellow edged moray, salmon shark, sleepy shark, featherback, and eagle ray.
Well, you can't ignore this plea, that's fine with me, but one day you'll see that my words are true. You find that you agree, I guarantee that you will soon be feeling the love too. Cause swordfishes
love you,
jellyfishes
love you,
starfishes
I want to be with you forever.
You know it's true.
Starfish, love me, love me.
In the ocean,
play it alone.